Well, we are in the middle of our series in the book of Acts. And the book of Acts is about how the church got its start. And that's the reason why we light the candle every week, is because that's a symbol of the light of Christ that's been active in the world since he came. And we're a connection to that first century church, to that very first church, and that the gospel has been handed down, the light of Christ has been handed down from one generation to the next, to the next, to the next, to where we are today. And so that's why we light that candle every week. And the last couple of weeks, we've been in Acts chapter 16, but we're going to backtrack today and go back to Acts chapter 15. And that kind of bothers me a little bit because, I don't really have OCD. I have CDO. I have to have them in alphabetical order, okay? But we're going to do that, and we're going to backtrack. And the Acts chapter 15 is about this theological debate that breaks out. And one of the reasons why I'm reluctant to backtrack is, obviously it's not in order. That's one reason, But the other reason why I'm reluctant to backtrack and go back to this theological debate in Acts chapter 15 is because when I said theological debate, some of you in your minds went, boring. And it is a little bit, but it is critical that we look at this. Because this theological debate, it teaches us four very important things about the gospel. And let me just give them to us up front, and then we'll unpack them as we go along. And really, all four of these things could be standalone sermons, if that gives you any indication of how long this sermon is going to be. But we're not going to do that. I'm going to condense it. I'm going to stay within my time. But here are four things, and then let me give them to you, and then we'll unpack them. So today's passage shows us the importance of gospel accuracy, okay? It shows us the importance of gospel liberty, the importance of gospel community, and the importance of gospel purity. So gospel accuracy, liberty, community, and purity is where we're going to be this morning. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 15. If you didn't bring your Bibles, we're going to throw it up on the screen for you, or you can pull it up on your phones. But Acts chapter 15, as we unpack these four very critical, very important, very crucial aspects of the gospel. So the importance of gospel accuracy. Let's just jump in. Verse 1, chapter 15 says, certain people came down from Judea to Antioch and were teaching the believers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. And this brought Paul and Barnabas into a sharp dispute and debate with them. And so Paul and Barnabas were appointed, along with some other believers, to go up to Jerusalem. And the reason why they're going to Jerusalem is because this is where the church started. And so this is like the mothership, okay? This is where all the disciples are, the apostles, where they're leading the church, and it's going out from them. So they go up to Jerusalem to see the apostles and the elders about this very important question. So the church, they send Paul and Barnabas on this long, very long trip to engage in this debate. Now Paul, at this point in his career, he's highly successful. In fact, he's the catalyst to starting other churches in other parts of the world and getting the gospel out to the non-Jewish people. And he's very successful. So the question is, why would he go on this very long journey to participate in this very boring debate? And here's the answer, is that Paul understood just how critical it was, how important it was for his theology and doctrine to be accurate if he was going to clearly and effectively communicate the gospel. It was that important to him to make sure he was accurate, he was insightful, he was in that he had the right doctrine and the right theology so that he could explain the gospel in a way that people could understand and do it correctly. Now this is hard for us to understand, okay, in today's culture, because in today's culture, we value love over truth, right? I mean, in today's culture, we're more interested in love instead of truth. And if you don't believe me, we'll just look at the TV ratings and you'll see that The Bachelor is a more popular show than Jeopardy, okay? I mean, because love is about feelings, right? Love is about experience. Love is about the individual, okay? But truth is about the mind. Truth is about our thoughts. Truth is about authority. Truth is about submission. Truth is about the group. It's about the community. But here's the deal, and this is the importance of why it's so important that we be accurate with the gospel, is that we have to understand the truth. We have to know the truth. And if we don't know the truth, we won't really know how to love. And so we'll talk about that a little bit more next week. But that's the importance of gospel accuracy. So now the importance of gospel liberty. Look at verse 3. Says the church sent them on their way, and as they traveled through Phoenicia and Samaria, they told how the Gentiles. Now the Gentiles were people who were outside the Jewish faith. They weren't born into the Jewish faith, so they would be anybody who wasn't Jewish. So the Gentiles they told how the Gentiles had been converted, and this news made all the believers very glad. And when they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and elders, to whom they reported everything God had done through them. And then some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees. Now the Pharisees, they were experts in the law. They had memorized the first five books of the Old Testament. They were lawyers, and they thought that the more that they did correctly, the more God would bless them and love them. And they were kind of the God squad, the God police. And so the Pharisees stood up and said, the Gentiles must be circumcised and required to keep the law of Moses. And then Peter stands up, and Peter's one of the original 12. And he stands up, and in verse 11, he kind of closes his speech out by saying no to these guys. He says, no. We believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved just as they are. So here we see the importance of gospel liberty, that most of the early Christians, okay, converted from Judaism, which means that they had been raised following the law of Moses. And one of those laws was that on the eighth day that a Jewish baby boy, after he was born on the eighth day, he was to be circumcised. And that was a symbol, that was a sign that you belong to the people of God, the chosen people of God, and that you are part of the covenant, the agreement, that the promise that God had made to Abraham, that he would make Abraham's name great, and that his children would outnumber the stars, and that the whole world would be blessed through him being Jesus. And so that, you know, the circumcision was a symbol of your faith in that covenant. But the law of Moses also talked about, you know, there were ceremonial laws that kind of keep you spiritually clean. And part of the ceremonial laws, there was lots of things you could eat and could do and could touch and could wear. But there was also a lot of things that you could not eat and could not do and could not touch and could not wear. And if you broke one of those ceremonial laws, you had to go ceremonial wash yourself. In other words, you had to go into the special fountain, and you kind of had to dip your, you know, your hands up to your elbow in this special fountain, and then you couldn't go to worship for 7 days. And all the early Jewish Christians, because they grew up practicing these customs, they continued to practice these customs. But when the Romans started putting their faith in Jesus, and when the Greeks started putting their faith in Jesus, in other words, the Gentiles who didn't grow up this way, when they put their faith in Jesus, they didn't observe the Mosaic laws or customs or practices. And the reason why they didn't was because Paul didn't make them. And that's why this debate happens. And so there's two very important freedoms at stake here in this debate. The first freedom is spiritual freedom. That what makes Christianity and its gospel unique is that all the other traditional religions in the world they're basically advice. In other words, all the other traditional religions in the world, they're advice of how we can have a connection with God. It's advice how we can obtain a divine life or eternal life. But the gospel is not good advice. The gospel is good news. It's good news about what Jesus Christ has done, finished for us. And as a result, our salvation, in other words, forgiveness of sin, is not something we achieve, it's something that we receive, right? It's not something we achieve based on our performance, but it's something that we receive as a gift. And Christianity is the only religion in the world that removes all of those burdens of trying to be good enough. And so whenever someone tries to tell us that we need to do this or add that to our to the equation in order to have forgiveness of sins, well, we lose our spiritual freedom. So that was at stake. The other freedom that was at stake was cultural freedom. So you see, the Gentiles were being told that if they wanted to be saved, that they needed to become culturally Jewish. In other words, the men also had to be circumcised. And all these ceremonial laws that are in the Old Testament, they were there to communicate to us that we are spiritually unclean and that we need to be cleansed from our sin before we go into the presence of a holy God. All the sacrifices that we read about in the Old Testament were pointing to the fact that there needs to be a sacrifice made because of our sins, that there needs to be an atonement for our sins. And Paul is saying that the Mosaic, the law of Moses was not required any longer because Jesus fulfilled the law of Moses in his life, in his death, in his resurrection. That Jesus came and he lived the life that none of us could live. He did so perfectly, and he died the death that every single one of us deserve. And the other reason why this is so important is because, secondly, not all Christians were going to be Jewish. We're not going to grow up Jewish. That the gospel was for everybody. Remember from last week? The gospel's for everybody. And so, which meant that nobody had to become culturally anything to be a Christian. And so Paul, he goes to Jerusalem, and they have this debate. And after the debate, they call for a vote, and they say, all in favor of not requiring the Gentiles to follow the law of Moses and the Jewish customs, say aye. Everybody said aye. Any opposed, say nay. Nobody did. And it passed. They did not require the Gentiles to fulfill the law of Moses or practice the customs. And all the non-Jewish men in the audience breathed a huge sigh of relief. So if you didn't get that joke, you need to ask somebody. If you don't understand that joke, go talk to Landon. But it was a huge sigh of relief there. So that's the importance of gospel liberty. Now the importance of gospel community. That there was a dispute that followed this debate. Look, just jump over to verse 22. And get ready to read along here with me, okay? Need everybody to participate here. Verse 22. It says, then the apostles and elders with the... Okay, that was about half the church, okay? I'm going to give you another shot. Then the apostles and elders with the whole church decided to choose some of their own men and send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. And they chose Judas and Silas and men who were leaders among the believers. And with them, they sent the following letter. So they decided. They decided that the Gentiles did not have to follow the law of Moses and its customs. And then they wrote this letter. Verse 24, greetings. We have heard that some went out from us, without our authorization, by the way, and disturbed you. I bet it was disturbing. Troubling your minds of what they said. And so we all agreed to choose some men and send them to you with our dear friends Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are sending Judas and Silas to confirm by word of mouth what we are writing. And I love this part, verse 28. And it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us not to burden you with anything beyond the following requirements. And I love that phrase, that it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and us. How did they know that? How did the whole church get to that conclusion? And the reason why is they studied the scriptures together in community. They studied the scriptures together in community. And when after they had this Bible study and they referenced this verse and cross-referenced this verse and asked one of the disciples, hey, okay, what did Jesus say? Give us some clarity there because we know what Matthew said, but it's a little unclear. So tell us again what Jesus said about this. Okay, and after they studied the scriptures together, they agreed that this is what the Holy Spirit was saying. And what you and I need to understand is that we need to be an active part of a church body. And that doesn't happen by just watching online. Now listen, I'm thankful for that technology. I'm so thankful for it. The gospel went to places that would have never gotten. Every pastor turned into a televangelist. And it allowed the church to stay connected during a pandemic, and it allowed people to navigate the last 15 months and the uncertainty and the safety risk and everybody to evaluate themselves for themselves of what they should and should not do for their own health. But it allowed us to stay together. And it's good to have that, but it was never meant to replace gathering together in corporate worship. And being a part of a smaller gospel-centered group and to remind one another of who God is and what he's done for us and who Jesus Christ is. And the reason why that is so important is because if I'm left to myself, I'm going to start feeling like I'm a pretty good person and I didn't really need that much help from God. If left to myself, when I blow it, I'm going to think that I'm not fully forgiven and God doesn't really love me until I do something for him. And that's why I need my brothers and sisters to remind me of what the gospel says about my sin, my past. We need one another to remind ourselves. And too many of us think that we can decide what God's word says and what God's will is on our own. But we need to study and we need to pray and we need to process with others so we can be assured and reassured that what we are reading and hearing, we're reading and hearing correctly. Now, there's this kind of theme that's going through Christian culture right now about all these self-help books. And that self needs to get up in the morning and wash their face and be their true person. And self needs to do hard things and you can do it. But guess what? Self can't help self. What we really need to hear is that self needs to be crucified to self. That self needs to submit to the authority of Jesus Christ. That self can't rescue self. Self can't save self. That self needs Jesus to do it for me. That's the gospel, and we need to remember that. And we need some people in our lives who will say, whoa, 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 what you're reading there, that's not good theology. What you're reading there is more a self-help, self-awareness, you know, lift self up. But what we all need is less of me and more of Jesus. So this little one likes that. That's what we need. And we need each other to get that. And this is how they close their letter. Verse 29, this is so good. It says, you are to abstain from food sacrificed to idols from blood, from the meat of strangled animals and from sexual immorality, and you will do well to avoid these things. Farewell. In other words, they say, okay, guys, technically, you guys are free to do that. You guys are free to eat those things, but please don't, because it would greatly offend your Jewish brothers and sisters. And so really what we're asking you guys to do is out of love for your brothers and sisters who grew up in the Jewish faith, out of love, would you leverage your freedom to do those things, not for your own sake, but for the sake of the community? Would you leverage your freedom for the sake of others? And if we'll do that, our community can continue to function as a whole. So that's the importance of gospel community. And then last, the importance of gospel purity. The main point of the law of Moses was to communicate that we're unclean and we need to be made clean. And I think the most amazing part about this passage is that Peter of all people, who grew up Jewish, who couldn't stand Matthew at the beginning because Matthew was a tax collector, who had a hard time, as we saw a few weeks ago, had a hard time going into a Gentile's house. Matthew stands up and in verse 8, he says, God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them, the Gentiles, by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did to us, the Jews. And he did not discriminate between us and them, for he purified their hearts by what? By what?
Faith.
By faith. He purified their hearts by faith, faith in Jesus. Not, he didn't purify their hearts by them becoming culturally Jewish. He didn't purify their hearts by their religious performance. He didn't purify their hearts according to their potential. He purified their hearts by what?
Faith.
Faith in who? Jesus, not self. They purify their hearts through faith in Jesus. And so what changed? What changed in Peter's heart and life that he had this huge paradigm shift? He realized what Paul wrote in Colossians 2. Paul would go on to write. He would say, Colossians 2, 11 through 14, says, in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised you from the dead. And when you were dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us of all our sins, not just some, but all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. So Peter, he understood that. Peter understood that we're clean because what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross. That his blood was painfully shed, that he was intensely vulnerable, that he was cut off, that he experienced the curse of our disobedience. That because Jesus was cut off, we could be brought in. Because he was rejected, we could be forgiven. Because he was made unclean, we can become clean. And hearing all this and knowing all this and experiencing all this is why gospel accuracy is so important. It is so important. We have a clear understanding that it's Jesus plus nothing that equals forgiveness of sin. That it's not our performance, it's not our potential. It is Jesus on our behalf. That he got the curse of our disobedience and we get the blessing of his obedience when we put our faith in him. And when we understand that, it leads to gospel liberty. It leads to gospel community. And it leads to gospel purity.